Society, some people say Kriya Yoga is to be kept secret and can only taught in initiations. Now you give seminars on Kriya Yoga.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, first of all, I did not want to do this. And I have a Kriya Yoga guru in India. He's originally from Switzerland. He walked to India in 1953. And he knows Swami Chidananda very well, and he knew Swami Sivananda very well. So after I came from the Yogananda ashram, I wanted to continue as a practice in Kriya, but take Swami Chidananda as my Satguru and my Sannyas guru, as my monastic guru, and he agreed. There was no problem with this. So for many years, Swami Gyanananda kept telling me to give Kriya, and I refused. And finally, one day he got angry with me a few years ago and said, I don't understand why you became a Swami if you're not willing to share knowledge. It's the duty of a Swami to share knowledge. So then I thought, and I went back to him, and he told, and Yogavidya had invited me to come and do some seminars. So Swami Gyanananda told me to give the preliminary practices first, and then if they practice for at least a few months regularly, then they can have Kriya. Usually it means I'm coming the next year. So then if they've practiced, they're eligible to get Kriya, or they can come to India after a few months and I'll give it to them in India. The thing is we have certain preliminary practices that Yogananda actually added to Kriya that wasn't originally part of Kriya, like the Hamsal mantra with the breath, and then Anahata Shabda. Those are the main two, and then there's spinal breathing. So we have these kind of techniques that are really advanced techniques and usually only given to Swamis. But Yogananda felt we needed these kind of techniques to get people ready, especially people in the West who had not been brought up in the Dharmic kind of environment of India where you're exposed to all these things. And these are very powerful techniques, and they give a very solid foundation. And the main reason also, first of all, we need the mind to get stabilized before practicing Kriya, because Kriya has a lot of power, and it gives more power if your mind's already stabilized through other types of practice. We can also bring in mantra yoga into it. In India, most of the Indians do mantra with the Kriya. So like when I teach in Yogavidya, if they've already taken mantra initiation in Yogavidya, then they continue to do the mantra and they do the Kriya also, which makes no conflict within the environment of Kriya Yoga. So Kriya needs to be given not from a book, but because we consider it a very sacred technique and people should honor it in a sacred way. When they take Kriya, the conditions that Babaji gave when Lahiri Mahashaya requested that the common people could have it, that people working in the world could have it, Babaji said, okay, but only on certain conditions. One is that they make a promise to practice it every day, and they don't reveal it to anyone without permission from the person who gave it to them. Part of the reason of that is you'll see that a lot of people use the name of Babaji or use the name of Kriya Yoga and the reputation it has to build up a following and to build up some kind of ashram, and almost like a kind of a Western kind of business kind of mentality. And that's not how it was done. Actually, most of the disciples of Lahiri Mahashaya did not even know that others were disciples of him, because it was in a secret kind of environment. It's supposed to be held in a very sacred way. It's just like when you have a mantra. Traditionally, you did not tell anyone your mantra. You're supposed to keep it in a very sacred way on a very interior. You know, it's also the same thing with the place that you sit for meditation. In India, no one would ever sit on your asana. No one would ever walk on it. That's a place that you keep holy, so that when you sit there, your mind automatically knows to go within and to practice. This is the place, and this is the business for this place, you know. So certain things need to be maintained in a sacred way. Swami Gyanananda always says that this idea that everyone should have access to all knowledge is actually not true. Some knowledge needs to be kept for the right time and the right place. You know, there are people in the world, when they gain certain knowledge, they do terrible things with knowledge. You know, it's, for an example, people who gain high technology from a Western environment, bringing it into a warrior kind of environment like Afghanistan or Iraq, and then they use high technology when their heart is not evolved enough to use it in a compassionate way, you know. So we have certain knowledge that should be kept in sacred way for the right time and the right place.